Thanks for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, and on American Forces Radio Network all over the planet. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Sarah Hartley, Esquire. She is a lawyer and compliance expert when it comes to Title IX, which is in the news again with the new administration. Title IX, as a reminder, was a civil rights law that was passed as part of the Education Amendments in 1972, basically saying that any school that was getting federal assistance could not discriminate based on your sex. And back then, it was men and women. And Sarah, it's a whole different world now. It's not just men and women. So where is Title IX at, and what did Joe Biden do with it?
Sure. So on the first day of his administration, President Biden issued an executive order on the prevention of discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. So that is in the wake of a Supreme Court decision issued last summer that found that discrimination on the basis of sex includes discrimination on the basis of your gender identity. So earlier this week, on March 8th, we saw a new executive order that made clear and confirmed that this will be applied in the Title IX context.
Now, it's interesting, too, that with Title IX, a lot of people in the sports world think, oh, it ruined the football team because, you know, it's like if you have to have the same number of female athletes to male athletes and there are 120 guys on the football team, so it's not equitable. How has Title IX bend and not broken throughout these last 40 years with college athletics?
So I think that Title IX has gone a really long way towards helping with gender parity in terms of providing additional opportunities for women in sport. And what we've seen is actually a huge growth in college sports and not quite as much of the harm to men's sports as people were fearing. There's always a balancing act with football. Football takes so many spots and so many resources that some of the other non-revenue-generating men's sports might feel like there are too many opportunities for women or an imbalance in opportunities for women to compensate for football. But as a former college athlete myself, I feel like that is just part of it. If you want to have a huge squad for football, you've got to have opportunities for women.
How does Title – it's funny because Title IX with the Roman numerals like a Pope or a Super Bowl, which I like as well, but we always hear – that the ACLU, you know, when you think about that, the way they advocate as well for students suffering sexual assault and harassment of these things, how has the ACLU and Title IX meshed together or clashed over the years?
Well, I don't see any clash really. Title IX has been interpreted in a variety of ways, depending on the administration, and we've seen some changes in the rules over the last bit of time, and we'll see another set of changes in how sexual harassment on campus is handled. But I think the ACLU has done a very strong job of protecting broadly women's rights and fighting for the rights of transgendered individuals as well. I don't see a conflict there.
Okay. And you mentioned transgendered. It was the Obama administration that first, I believe, said that transgendered students are protected under the sex-based discrimination under Title IX. And then Trump basically said, look, transgender women are ruining thing for, I guess you would say, cisgender or traditionally named women. And then now Biden has taken. So what was Trump doing? Was he withholding funding to the schools that recognize transgendered women?
Well, I want to step back there because the NCAA has had a policy independent of Title IX for the last 10 years that allows transgendered individuals to participate in collegiate sport. So whatever Trump's policies were and whatever his position was in terms of potential unfairness of allowing transgendered athletes to compete in women's sport, that's not been the policy on the ground for the NCAA. So the NCAA has always, in the last 10 years, allowed trans women to participate in women's sport if they've undergone hormone suppression treatment for a full year. Mm-hmm. So that could change with the new executive order from Biden. It might be that there's a move towards participation without treatment. I don't really see that happening because of the way the sports world on the whole has regulated the participation of trans women in sport. But where we really see this difference in terms of how Trump treated it and how we'll see it under the Biden administration is at the K-12 level. And that's where we've seen all of the legislation at the state level that's trying to prevent trans girls from participating as girls in women's sports.
A couple more questions for Sarah Hartley of the law firm Brian Cave Layton Paisner about Title IX. And in all seriousness, I know that there's a category called gender fluid where you might feel like you're one thing one day and one thing another. So do you still have to, it's almost like, do you have to have someone declare, look, I'm this for this season in this sport? How are they going to deal with gender fluid?
I think that remains to be seen, but the current policies as they stand, at least at the collegiate level, would allow you to participate in the sport related to your gender, your biological sex. And then if you choose to, as a trans woman would, participate in the sport of the gender that you affiliate with as your gender identity, you do have to commit and undergo the hormone suppression treatment as a trans woman would. So I don't see necessarily this fluidity where you'll see change from season to season or within a season for gender fluid individuals.
How important was Patsy Mink of Hawaii with getting Title IX passed?
You know, I'm going to have to plead ignorance. I'm not sure what her
wrote it, right? I think she wrote it, if I'm not mistaken. Well, let me ask you this, on the other hand. When Betsy DeVos was Secretary of Education, how much control did she have over something like Title IX, as they say, as an education amendment? How much control did she have? Or is it the kind of thing like it doesn't matter who's in charge, it's beyond tampering?
So at the level of having federal legislation, that's not something that Betsy DeVos or the Secretary of Education under any administration can change. But the way that a federal law is implemented by the regulatory agency responsible for enforcing it is something that can change in some ways with the winds of the administration. So what we saw under the Obama administration was the issuance of guidance in 2011 that said, here's the policy on how we're going to handle sexual misconduct on campus and how disciplinary proceedings will go. Betsy DeVos underwent a rulemaking process to formalize a very different set of rules to handle sexual misconduct. And what we're seeing now under the executive orders from President Biden is a very likely additional rulemaking process to change the rules yet again.
What would be, in your opinion, if you could, knowing Title IX, maybe something that you would tweak, like maybe a little less of this, a little more of that? Or do you think as it stands right now, you would not amend anything?
Well, so the law itself, you know, Title IX is basically a single sentence. So the question is really how are the rules and regulations that implement Title IX going to be drafted? And I think there's plenty of room for improvement. I think there's a middle ground between the rules that we see Betsy DeVos implemented last year, which required what a lot of higher education institutions believe is an excessive amount of process and burden on the schools, and the Obama-era guidance. I think there'll be a middle ground where we'll see some type of heightened procedural protections for all parties in the disciplinary process, but maybe not what appears to be sort of a full-blown quasi-judicial hearing on campus, which is what we have right now.
All right. Very interesting. We've been speaking with Sarah Hartley, a lawyer, a compliance expert, about the dangers, or I should say the changes, Freudian slip, of Title IX, and she is with the law firm of Brian Cave, Layton and Paisner. And should we throw Hartley onto that? You getting close to partner there?
So I am a partner, but we're a law firm with over 1,400 lawyers worldwide. So don't think my name's going to be on the door anytime soon.
Yeah, I think four is a mouthful as it is, right?
I agree wholeheartedly.
Sarah, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.